जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी 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 Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Ashtota Shadashi Srimad. His divine grace is he Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye nashta prayesha bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Text number 24. Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarkaya kulastriyah Harmyanyaruruhu vipra tadikshanamahutsavaha Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarakayah kulastriyah Harmyanyaruruhu vipra Tadikshana mahotsavaha Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarakaya kulastriyah Harmyanyaruruhu vipra Tadikshana mahotsavaha Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarakaya kulastriyah Nyanyaruruhu vipra Tadikshana mahotsava. Matajis. Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarakaya kulastriyah अर्म्याण्यारुरुहो विप्रा दीक्षणमहोत्सवा। राजमार्गं गते कृष्णे भारकाया कुलस्थियः अर्म्याण्यारुरुहो विप्रा तदीक्षणमहोत्सवाः। राजमार्गम्, द पब्लिक रोड्स, गते वाइल पासिंग ओवर, कृष्णे बाय लॉर्ड कृष्णा, द्वारकायाः of the city of Dwarka, kulastriyah, ladies of the respectable families, harmyani, on the palaces, aruruhu, got up, vipra, o brahmanas, tad ikshana, just to look upon him, Krishna, Maha Utsavaha, accepted as the greatest festival. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads, all the ladies from the respectable families of Dwarka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. Purport. To have a look at the Lord is great festive occasion undoubtedly, as it was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwarka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India, especially during the days of Jhulan and Janmashtami ceremonies. The ladies of India still throng up in greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where His transcendental eternal form is worshipped. The transcendental form of the Lord installed in a temple is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archa Vigraha or Archa Incarnation and is expanded by the Lord by His internal potency just to facilitate the devotional service of His innumerable devotees who are in the material world. The material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord, and therefore the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, which is apparently made of material elements like earth, wood and stone. But actually there is no material contamination. The Lord being Kaivalya, one alone, there is no matter in Him. He is one without a second. And therefore the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of Lord Dwarka, of the Lord of Dwarka, about 5,000 years ago. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles just to offer facilities to the common man. But persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake this great attempt to be idol worship and poke their nose into that to which they have no access. Therefore, the ladies or men who observe festivals in the temples of the Lord just to have a look at the transcendental form are 1,000 times more glorious than those who are non-believers in the transcendental form of the Lord.
It appears from the verse that the inhabitants of Dwarka were all owners of big palaces. This indicates the prosperity of the city. The ladies got up on the roofs just to have a look at the procession and the Lord. The ladies did not mix with the crowd on the street, and thus their respectability was perfectly observed. There was no artificial equality with the man. Female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the woman separate from the man. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadhamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitas He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from the 11th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam entitled Lord Krishna Entrance into Dwarka. This verse is describing how, as Krishna was entering Dwarka, how different people of Dwarka received Krishna in various ways. And specifically in this verse, the respectable ladies, Kulastriya, how they received and welcomed the Lord is being described. Rajamargam Gate Krishna. He was entering through the main road. Something like the express highway. practically Dwarka's every street was like a today's express highway. That was the opulence, as Prabhupada mentions, the palaces on both sides. So, two words here are very important, which Prabhupada seems to emphasize. One is Kulastriya, the respectable ladies of Dwarka. And the second, Tadikshana Mahotsavaha. Tad, the Lord. Ikshana. Ikshana means to see. To just behold the Lord is actually Maha Utsav. Utsav is festival. Mahotsava means a big festival. Can you imagine? We are all having a festival right now, whether you know it or not. Because we are beholding. And the Lord is beholding us. You cannot have a better festival than this. Prabhupada, in the spirit of the previous Acharyas and Shukadeva Goswami here, while describing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord for the spiritual elevation, also mentions so many other aspects of the culture of those times. So in all these descriptions, we hear the sociological, the psychological, the cultural, the historical, the geographical, the political, all the various environment that was currently existing when the Lord descended. So that we can actually begin to appreciate the culture in which Krishna consciousness can be cultivated in a very successful way. Actually, what is culture? Sometimes you culture a bacteria also. So you keep something, you allow it to rot. You take some dahi or something and just expose it to the sun and keep it. It kind of rots and it creates a favorable environment for a particular entity to grow. So different environments create favorable atmosphere for different kind of entities to grow. Just behind our temple where you have the Vrindavan forest, this was the garbage dump of this whole society, LNHO compound. And because everyone was dumping their garbage, two living entities were very prominent. Crows and pigeons. And in the night, rats. And to eat them, cats. But by the vision of the leadership here, when he saw that South Bombay, 1 square feet is how costly. And you guys are completely whiling away this place. We should have a Vrindavan forest here. Vrindavan forest? Yeah. And as soon as we called some very specialist, rock garden specialist and others, and they studied this place and created some kind of a thing, and they left, and it was okay, but Radhanath Swami Maharaj was not satisfied. So no, we should have more Vrindavan-like atmosphere. And when it was made, surprisingly, so many varieties of butterflies. First time in LNHO compound, we could see so many butterflies. And as soon as the flowers came, so many bees. We never imagined ever that a parrot would come in our compound. And now we are squeaking sound of parrots in the morning and in the evening. particular time, 1 hour. So many parrots. Once peacock from the Banaganga, you know, that governor's bungalow, the peacock also had come. Twice even monkeys had come to make the Vrindavan more bona fide. So we see, whatever environment we create, that kind of consciousness, or people with that consciousness, will be attracted in a particular place. You make a bar, a particular type of people will gather. You create a park, oxygen park, a particular type of people in a particular type of day or a particular time of the day will gather there. You have a temple, a particular group of people will be attracted. So the culture creates a particular environment conducive and favorable for a particular consciousness to evolve and grow. So so there are two aspects. One is quality of the individual, and another one is the environment. One helps the other. Even if you don't have required qualities, as soon as you go in front of the beach, beautiful ocean beach, and it's very clean and it's very peaceful, even a person which is predominantly in a mode of passion or ignorance comes to the mode of goodness. Enter a park or a green area or an open sky, immediately a particular consciousness develops. Or at night, enter into a very, very passionate kind of a street with particular type of music. Everything, the hairstyle, the dress, the food, all of these contribute to the either evolution or devolution of consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, actually there are so many types of cultures, varieties of cultures in the whole world. But broadly, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes two cultures. And everything else comes somewhere in between, various shades of these two cultures. In the 16th chapter, he describes two natures. Daiva Sampad, Daivasura Sampad Vibhaga Yoga Nama, Shodashodhyaya. The divine and the demoniac nature. In 16th chapter, he defines this two types of culture. The divine or the spiritual culture, or the demoniac or the materialistic culture. According to the social scientists, culture can be perceived in so many ways. But these two are clearly the extremes, and everything in between is various shades of either of this. Dvaubhuta sargav lokesmin daiva asura evacha. Krishna describes there that there are two types of people basically. Daiva and asura. Asura doesn't mean having horns on the head, teeth protruding out, man eating cannibals. No, but the mentality is the same. It's about the consciousness. It's about the world view that we have. And born out of the world view is a particular type of perception, particular type of thoughts, particular type of feelings, and eventually particular type of actions, interactions, dealings. And what is the difference between these two cultures? the divine and the demoniac, or the spiritual and material culture. It is said, Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya Nibandhaya Asuri Mata. In a spiritual culture, you are liberated from the bodily conception of life. Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya. It elevates you from the body consciousness to come to soul consciousness, Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, because soul is naturally Krishna conscious. While the materialistic culture drags you on the bodily platform, it pulls you, forces you to be very much focused on the bodily platform. And everything is in between, everything else. And therefore, understanding this, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, our acharyas, nana shastra vicharanaika nipunau, sadharma samsthapakau, nana shastra, they are experts, they are saragrahi Vaishnavas. They are like honeybees. Even from the filthiest of place, they only take nectar. They are focused only on nectar. The bees like that, wherever you put them, they are only looking. They see only one thing. Where is nectar? Even in the worst of things, even in the worst of people, even in the worst of situations, they only take the good, the essence. So, nana shastra vicharanaika nipunau, these expert saragrahi Vaishnavas, having scrutinizingly studied all the scriptures, yam shastra vidhimutrujya vartate kamakaratah, nasa siddhimavapnoti nasukham panaparamgati. Without scriptures, you will get sucked in. So they extracted this and they established Saddharma Samsthapako. They have established certain rules and regulations. If he simply, even blindly, ideally with full consciousness, full awareness, but even if he blindly follow this culture, these rules and regulations, without your knowledge, we will be elevating ourselves. And you will be amazed. Yeah, I'm seeing things differently. I'm perceiving things differently. I'm feeling different. Nowadays, I'm thinking differently. My priorities have changed. Just by associating in a particular type of culture with a particular type of people. This is the transformation that the culture has the power to elevate or to pull down. Why? Why they establish this? Lokanam hitakarinau. Lokanam hitakarinau. Their only purpose was, how will people be benefited? How will people elevate themselves? Lokanam hitakarinau. And therefore, Tribhuvane, in all the three worlds, Manyo, they are to be mostly respected, most respectable personalities. Sharanya Karo, they are the people worth taking shelter of, worth surrendering our lives and our existence to. So, in the 16th chapter, in the first three verses, my sincere request is, if you haven't read it, if you haven't got a Gita, please buy one. Bhagavad Gita as it is, available downstairs. If you have one, read the 16th chapter with this understanding. If you have not read it, read it. If you have read it many times, now read it with this spectacle. Let's see, what does Krishna say about the cultural part? The two types of culture, spiritual and the materialist culture. The worldview, the thoughts, the perception, the feelings, the actions, their consequence, their destination, everything is described just in 24 verses. This is the amazing aspect of the Gita. Summary. Anywhere, not just the world, but the whole creation, all the culture can be brought down under these two categories. So what is the quality? In the first three verses, 26 qualities are mentioned of the divine people. Divine doesn't mean having a halo around the head, no. Somebody may be an ordinary city dweller who doesn't have anything about understanding of Shastra. But if he has even a traces of these qualities, that is in the mode of goodness, and they are naturally favorable quality for easily uplifting them. Abhayam sattva samshuddhim jnana yoga vyavasthitihi danam damascha yajyascha swadhyayas tapa arjavam. Abhayam, fearless. Because as soon as you understand, I am not the body and the soul, the body is going to die, but I don't. You actually become fearless. Socrates was given, said, if you do too much, we will feed you poison. So what? You will have to catch me before you kill me. What do you mean? Yes, you cannot even catch me. What do you speak of killing? Prahlad Maharaj, fearless. Why? Because abhayam. But they understand nature of the spirit. Sattva samshuddhim. Their whole goal is how I can purify my existence. Sattva samshuddhim. And jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. They are always situated. They are trying to elevate themselves through knowledge and their by the linking process with the Supreme. That's their goal. Ekeha kurunandana. Danam, very charitably disposed. Damascha, very regulated, controlled in their senses, damascha. Yajyascha, sacrifice. Swadhyaya, scrutinizing study, regular study to improve oneself. Tapa, very austere. Arjavam, very, very honest, very straightforward, very simple in their lifestyle, in their disposition, in their dealings. Saralata is one very favorable characteristic for spiritual life. So in this way, 26 qualities are described, and Srila Prabhupada gives about 6.5 pages purport to elaborate on each quality. It's such a purifying, just to read this. Yesterday was Ganga Appearance Day. We don't have to go to Ganga. Simply sitting here and studying Gita. Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punarjanmana Vidyate. Anyone who drinks or bathes their consciousness in the Gita, it's like bathing in the Ganga. Not once, regularly. And just once, Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punarjanmana Vidyate. They become self-realized. And on the other hand, the mindset of the demoniac is given in just one verse. Half a verse actually. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodha parushyam evacha ajnanam cha bhijatasya partha sampadam asurim. Dambha, they are extremely proud of whatever they have. A beggar can be proud of his penny, as they say. Even if they don't have nothing, they think they have anything. And they have very proud. Dambha, darpa, very arrogant. In their interactions, in their the way they carry themselves. Darpa, abhimanascha, conceited. Self-centered. It's all about me. As soon as they enter, everyone should be looking at them. Otherwise, it's an insult. You don't know who, you don't recognize who I am. The way they kind of carry themselves. So self-centered. Dambho darpo abhimanash. And they demand respect. And obviously not everyone will respect. So krodha. They become very angry. And because they are angry, parushyam evacha. harsh speech, cutting speech, piercing speech. So, and then what is their nature? What's their worldview? Their worldview. How do they see the world? All your actions, thoughts, words, feelings are born out of how you see the world. A very deep understanding of what is this world. How does a devotee see the world? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita. He sees this world as coming from Krishna. Eternally connected to Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. And therefore everything should be utilized for Krishna. This is how they see everything. And therefore, wherever they see anything, if they touch their feet immediately. Oh, what is this? Oh, sorry, I touched it with my feet. Is it disrespectful? No. It's also a part of Krishna. Your feet may be the low part of the body, but still the feet is also part of the body. So everything connected to Krishna, it must be utilized for Krishna. How do the demoniacs see? Asatyam apratishthande jagadahur anishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. In one verse, they may have millions of philosophies, but their philosophy's essence is given in one verse. Their worldview. Asatyam. This world is an illusion. It's simply a dream. It doesn't exist. Even though they see this world, even though they say that this world is a dream, they are very expert at enjoying the dream. But they don't realize that their, consequence and destination is also a dream world. Kshinaya punya martaloka. In case they go up. They don't go, they go down. Narakam, trividham, narakasyedam, dwaram, nashanam. It's a royal road, not one road. Three express highways. In case they miss one, the second one will take them. Royal road to hell. Trividham, narakasyedam, dwaram, nashanam, atmanam. Of the soul, it's like hell, hellish. Kamaha, krodha, tatha, lobha, tasmad, etatrayam, tyajet. So, asatyam, they feel that this is all fantastic. This world has no basis. By chance, one big bang happened. And suddenly this world came. And if it has come by a big bang, there is no creator behind this. There is no purpose. Just do it. That's their philosophy written on their t-shirt. Just do it. You feel like it, you do it. Don't care about future, don't care about far, forget about it. No accountability because by chance ho gaya. So by chance mere ko aisa lag raha hai. By chance I will do something. Usme chance, whatever happened, that also I will accept. Asatyam, apratishtham. If somebody say, hey, no, paap lagega, ye punya hai, ye paap lagega. Apratishtham te. There is no foundation for this world. There is no God. Everything has come by chance. This is very subtle. They may speak philosophy. They may even recite Bhagavad Gita. But this is their internal consciousness. Asatyam apratishthamte. So, jagad ahuhu anishwaram. There is no person in control. No demigods. Forget about God. In fact, they say, soul wo nahi hai. Soul. Next life. How? Kadam kritva ghritam pive javat jive sukham jive. Beg, borrow or steal. But live life king size. Enjoy yourself. Aparaspara sambhutam. By chance this world has come. Kim anyat kama haitukam. And how is it progressing? Simply by lust. Two people come together and it is expanding. Another bundle of chemical is born and things go on. If this is the internal attitude, what will be thoughts? What will be their feelings when they see something? What will be their actions? Jagato ahitaha. It is simply for the destruction of the whole world. And their whole goal is What's in it for me? How can I really enjoy myself? Squeeze out as much as you can. So these are the two worldviews. And born out of them is the perception, thought, feeling, actions, etc. Now, as we were discussing, the acharyas, having extracted the essence of divinity, establish universities of education called temple. A temple is not simply a place of worship alone. It's actually a university of systematic scientific education, where there is a schedule made. Everything is described, and the meaning of everything, the purpose of everything. So the culture, as per the social scientists, there are three aspects of a culture broadly. One is what you see. What you see meaning how we address each other. What kind of clothes we wear. How do we bow down? How do we greet each other? How do we deal with each other? How do we interact with each other? What are your activities? What are your festivals? What is your daily schedule? These are all called the artifacts of the culture. Artifact means the seeable and feelable structures and processes of a particular community is called a culture, a particular culture. These are the externally what is visible, what is feelable, what is seeable. Oh, they wear this kind of a cloth. They put certain marks. They have a particular way of hairstyle. They address each other in a particular way. They bow down in a particular way. Their whole daily schedule is generally like that. They do this, this, this every day. They never do this, this, this. Or these are their celebrations. These are their festivals centered around anything. So these are called the artifacts. And then what is called as the professed values. What are the vision? What is the goal? What is the aspiration of these culture? What is the ultimate goal of their life? What do they aspire for? What's their vision? What do they want to achieve? These are the professed values. And that is described in the scriptures. Yad gatva anivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. So what's my goal? The goal is to become a pure devotee. I want to go back home, back to Godhead. Whether we achieve or not, that's another thing. But at least that's our aspiration. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. At least every day we tell this. Asti seva, padratam, pinashtumam, adarshanam, marmadam. But if someone does it, we will make padratam, pinashtumam. Dare you touch me. But at least our aspiration is that. One day, someday. When will the day be mine? Kobe hobe bolo seidin amar. But our prayer is that. Please Krishna, give me that quality. Someday I want to be like that. So every culture has its aspiration. Whether it is materialistic, they have their aspiration. They have their dealings. They have their externals. And the spiritual culture also has its own aspiration, vision and goals. And then there are deep, taken for granted, basic assumptions. We are not the body, we are the soul. Krishna is a controller. Everything happens by His grace. Yeah, this is my karma. This is the deep assumptions. Yes, a few days back, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj made a very profound statement. And sometimes when he wants to emphasize something, he builds, he prepares our heart before. It's like you take a golden ring, then you put a diamond, then the diamond shines out. You simply take a diamond and go around, pockets and nikal ye diamond hai. You go to TBZ, they have a blue satin or a green satin or a red satin cloth, and they mount the, when it is properly mounted, then you become attracted. I want to buy this at any cost. I'll sacrifice anything. One day I want to achieve this. Krishna, he wanted to speak the Gita. He could have said, Arjun, chal aaj Jamuna ke beech mein baith ke ped ke niche thoda. Let's have charcha karte bas Gita ke baare. Now, Krishna prepared, perfect. Whole world is here. Top leaders of the world are there. And suddenly, the man of the match, man of the series, bat, he throws the bat and says, "My, nahi batting karunga. Toss jeetu ya haru, mere ko harna hi hai." Kya ho gaya? Everyone is dependent on it. And the whole, imagine the whole world finals, World Cup final. People have paid thousands of rupees and are sitting, you know, nail bat. Kya hoga? Kya hoga? And suddenly the batsman throws his bat and says, "I'm going to go to the pavilion." And everyone's like, "Kuch to koi hai, koi isko bolo, isko gadhe ko. Kya kar rahi?" And then the hero comes. Krishna comes. "Hey, bait idhar." So everyone is listening. Kya bola? Kya bola? So in this way, you know, Maharaj prepared. He said, this is the most pessimistic statement. But in one sense, this is the most optimistic. The most pessimistic and yet most optimistic. And he prepared, and everyone is eagerly waiting. Kya kaun sa statement hai ye? What did Prabhupada say? And then he took out the jewel. Actually, every statement is a jewel, but sometimes we need to have proper realization and perception to appreciate that. He said, a Vaishnava is one who expects problems and miseries at every moment of his life. And he asked, how many of you believe? How many of you feel it is a very positive? How many of you feel it's very negative? How many are bewildered? This is the internal assumption. Tattenukampam sushamikshamano bhunjana evatmakratam vipakam. Harid vagvapur bhirvidadha namaste jivetayo. This is the deepest underlying assumption. My Krishna, I know you are the most powerful person in this creation. Not a blade of grass can move without your sanction. I know you are all knowing. You know what is within, what is without, what is my past, what's my future, what's best for me. And third and most important, I know no one in this creation loves me more than you. Because you love me 100% more than anyone else can ever love me. Because you are all powerful and because you are all knowing, whatever comes in my life is actually your mercy. Whether it is mercy from the front, I ask for it, I prayed for it, I long for it. Mercy from the side, unexpectedly some good thing happened, or mercy from the back, the worst thing that can ever happen to you. Dushman ko bhi aisa din na aaye aur aise din hame aa jaye. To say thank you Krishna, nothing, I don't know, I can't understand, but I know there is something. Please give me the good intelligence to see that it is coming from you, and the strength to respond in a way that is pleasing to you. Respond in a way that is satisfying to you. Respond in a way that is beneficial to me. Give me the good intelligence to take that decision and the strength to stick to that at all circumstances. If this is the consciousness, every moment, that's why Kunti says, Vipada Santo, if that's what it takes to have this festival of looking at you, to hell with all the other things, let any damn thing, let it come to me. If it means, if under that situation, it forces me to run to you and just behold you, take shelter and fall at your feet, give me that. Very easy to speak. After eating Dwadashi Khichdi and sitting under the fan on a Vyasasan, everyone is looking at you, exalted philosophy. Oh, but to live it? But this is the foundational underlying assumptions because of which all our acharyas, the way they thought, the way they spoke, the way they acted, it's born from these deep underlying assumptions. So generally, people come and see only these parts, the externals. Better at least adopt the externals. By adopting the externals, one day, hopefully, someday, and in that association, developing a desire to have a desire that someday I should aspire for these kind of aspirations. And hopefully, in their interactions, by seeing them from close quarters. I remember one time, our Siddhama Sakha Prabhu, he asked Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Maharaj, you know, sometimes we associate too much with devotees. Not exactly, I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, you know, sometimes we, ati parichay avagya, familiarity breeds contempt. So he asked, Maharaj, sometimes, you know, we see them from close quarters. When we see from a distance, we are like that. And when we come closer and see the amount of khichdi he eats. Bapre, main jo 4 din mein nahi khata, ye to ek bar khata hai. Aur main sochta tha ye bahut bada bhakt hai. So sometimes when we see from close quarters, there is a tendency that we may try to see, oh, he like me, or even I am better than him actually, in many aspects. So he asked, he said, how do we avoid familiarity? And Radhanath Swami made a very interesting statement. He said, familiarity breeds contempt when sense gratification is the center. And familiarity breeds to appreciation, respect, when Krishna is in the center. And I very distinctly remember he asked, Maharaj, what does it mean to put Krishna in the center? He said, keeping Krishna in the center means following Vaishnava etiquettes. These etiquettes are designed to develop a respect and appreciation, even, and intimacy. Intimacy, respect and appreciation. So that's why these artifacts, whether you like it or not, call them as Prabhu, Mataji. So everything, these association, gradually by externally adopting the artifacts, even without understanding, hopefully by that association, jaisa sang vaisa rang, you know, you become what you associate with. Gradually you may attain a higher aspiration and a lower or a deeper and a broader way of perceiving this world and conviction about the existence of God, existence of, you know, a higher power which is all-powerful, all-loving and all-knowing. And he's perfect. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Anything that he does is imperfection is in our eyes. But he is perfect. So here in this particular verse, it's talking about respectable women. Ulastriyaha. The whole essence of this spiritual culture is, as Prabhupada explains, there was no artificial equality with the man. Female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the women separate from the man. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. This is the amazing part of the purports of our acharyas. They explain why we do what we do. Let's take the dress code. What is a dress code? Sometimes people say, ki farak pehna hai. अरे कुछ भी पहनो यार, भगवान अंदर है, भगवान सब जगह है, वो तो बाथरूम में भी है, जब नहीं पहनता तो भी देखता है वो. Yes, it's not for God. It is for us that we are fixed what we want to achieve in our life, And in the association, we want to protect each other and inspire each other and encourage each other. That is why we come to a place like a temple. Every place has a dress code. I was in the Mauritian beach. Ooh, they have another dress code there. Interesting dress code. Naturally, if you're going for swimming, you don't wear a suit, boot and tie. So if you're going for swimming, a dress code that is conducive for swimming in the water. If you're going for a yoga class, you should wear a dress that is suitable for that purpose. If a painter, I know when this painter fellow comes, you know, too much of paint keeps falling. So he has a uniform. He wears it, old one he wears. Then he removes and takes a bath and then wears the fresh clothes. So he knows, for that activity, whatever is conducive, that's what is the dress code. Why do we come to the temple? Only one purpose. To purify our existence and to glorify the Lord. That's the only purpose of satsanga. To purify the heart by glorifying the Lord. So Lord should be the center of our consciousness, our focus when we come to the temple. So a dress code should not attract people to me. It should attract to the Lord. So a dress code that is provocative, a dress code that is revealing, a dress code that is agitating, whether it is the clothes or the hairstyle, whatever it is. Therefore, there are some etiquettes. There is a culture. There are some rules and regulations. It's not to restrain people. It's not to discipline. No. To facilitate. Have you come here to... If you go to school, school is meant to get knowledge. So the environment should facilitate that. So when we appreciate and understand, what's the real purpose? So then we are automatically focused. I remember one time we were in Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri there was a huge queue like that. Not queue, as a big rush actually. And Jagannath Ji is there and then the gates were closed. And then like Mahaprabhu would stand behind the Garuda Stambha. Had a place because he'd fall into ecstasy and therefore you stand there. So I myself and another one senior brahmachari was standing there. And we were, we had a lot of thousands of people. Literally. Thousands crowding. And suddenly the gate opened and everyone rushed. There was no separation of male, female, nothing. Everyone rushed. And amazing. We also hear in that eagerness, that old lady forgot, she climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. She was an old lady, and Mahaprabhu actually 7 feet high. So she would have got a world high jump record probably. But there she wouldn't be inspired to jump. Here probably she was inspired to just forget her body and get on. Mahaprabhu appreciated that. That's Mahaprabhu. So here they were, everyone was kind of rushing and crushing against each other and everything. And so this devotee was standing behind itself. And I asked him, Prabhu, let's go an opportunity to go close. And then, aap jao. And I'm like, thoda patit hoon, aisa ghosunga, to mera dimag idhar udhar chala jayega. But door se keval Jagannath ko dekhte rahunga. And after probably everyone left, some other time he went. He said, I am a very weak person. I'm very disturbed. I'm agitated very easily. And when I see that all these people are rushing, and if I can, I get agitated. I don't want to be. You gotta understand different mood of different devotees. So the point is, whether it is dress, whether it is hairstyle, whether it is the clothes, actually it is not even, the dress is external. The hairstyle is external. The real thing is the disposition, the attitude. At least personally, we have seen people wearing a very beautiful, nice sari in a very provocative and revealing way and disturbing. And in the West, I have seen, you know, skirt and blouse people and these nuns and these others. You don't kind of feel or disturbed or agitated. So it's also about the basic assumptions. We are here to serve each other, to inspire each other, to encourage each other, to appreciate each other, and not to distract, not to disturb, and not to keep ourselves as the center. If this is the consciousness, that's one of the reasons why this separation is there in the temples. It's not to discriminate. It's not like that. You know, it's just, this is it. This is favorable. But merely focusing and emphasizing on the externals without giving the principles makes people disturbed, agitated. Tu kya kya samajhta hai? Main kya achhut hu? Mere ko chhu gaya to aisa kaisa dekhta tu? So, there should be culture and there should be philosophy. When we understand the philosophy, then culture, we welcome that culture. One college-going lady cried when I addressed her Mataji. Then I said, Mata, main kasam khata hoon, dusri baar Mataji nahi bolunga. To Pitaji bolun kya? Because she was disturbed. Do I look so old? Mataji. And now, we are supposed to look up to each other as Mataji, Prabhuji. So behind all these external rituals, along with the deep underlying assumptions, those assumptions are not imaginative. They are real. We are not the body, we are the soul. So, Pandita Samadarshina. However, yes, the soul is equal, but we are all in a body and we are all conditioned souls. We are sick, therefore we have come to the hospital. In fact, a temple is also a hospital. We have come here for treatment. So imagine, I hope not, but suppose somebody gets COVID and he goes to the hospital. Even though the doctor may love you, he will not embrace you. He will keep you away. Udhar hai, mask pehen ke. Touch bhi kiya to haath dhoega. Kya? Main achhut hoon, chhu ke haath dhota hai? Because the disease that you are carrying will spread. So, once this deep-rooted assumptions, Jiver Swarupoy Krishna Nityadas, is understood, and we understand what is unfavorable, anukulya se sankalpo, pratikulya se varjanam. These things are favorable. I don't care whether I like it or not, but this must be adopted as a service to everyone, as a service to myself. And this for pratikulya savarjanam, this is unfavorable to myself and to the others. So I respect it while understanding the foundational philosophy behind it. And then kind of understanding what is my aspiration. I have come to do that. I can't get distracted. Otherwise, the whole effort is wasted. All the way people come, you know, taking bus and travel, so that today is that darshan. Today is that special darshan. Jhulam darshan. That's darshan. And then, you know, in the darshan, there's a lot of rush. And you're disgusted. Many people, newcomers, if things are not organized properly, they go back telling, Jindagi mein dusri baar mandir nahi jaunga. I'll never go again. Kuch organized nahi hai. Aisa dhakka marte hain. Arey budha aadmi hai, dekhta nahi hai mere ko. So some discipline, just so that everything is facilitated. Dwarakayam kulastriya. Now we come to the second part. Tadikshana mahotsavaha. Simply beholding the form of the Lord is a festival. This purport of this, I realized this. I had read this even before I joined the temple. Because this devotee who was preaching to me had given me. Kunti's prayers and also first canto of Bhagavatam. And I had read this. Tadiksha Mahotsavam. Seeing the Lord is a festival. I really never understood it so much. But few months after I joined, I think it was in 1990 or something, we were supposed, Radha Gopinath Mandir was supposed to get this Ganesh ji that you see on the door. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj called me to his room. And he said, Gopinath Prabhu, you have to go to Jaipur. And he wrote down the address, Pandey Murtiwala. Said, you have to get this Ganesh ji, which will be putting it on the door. And Maharaj said, so since you are going to Jaipur, all our, most of our Gaudiya deities are there. Radha Govinda Dev of Rupa Goswami, Radha Gopinath of Madhu Pandit, Radha Vinod of Lokanath Goswami, then Radha Damodar of Jiva Goswami, carved by Rupa Goswami, Radha Madhav of Jayadev Goswami. So many deities, original deities of the six Goswamis. During this Mughal attack, they were all shifted to Jaipur because the kings of Jaipur, Hindu kings, they were protecting these deities. And Radha Madan Mohan also, which has now gone to Karoli. Karoli, of course, distant. I had to go only for 2 days. I had to get these deities. Deity of Ganesh ji. So he gave me. He wrote down. I still have his. Personally, he wrote down. You know, Radha. You know, I mean, you should see all these deities. In near place called Tripolia Gate, Hawa Mahal in Jaipur. So, and he told, see, early morning it happens, you should go. So I went in the previous night and I found out the addresses. Where are all these? Because early morning, the Mangalarti is at 4:15 in some place, 4:30, 4:45 maximum within that. Then 50, half an hour. All these temples have slightly different timings. So I kind of found out, noted down and mentally calculated Dasijana strategically to see everything. And next day morning I got up. And I somehow found my way. Because it was dark, I couldn't. I actually in one sense I was lost. I was thinking, kahan jana hai, kidhar jana hai. Poochne wale bhi koi nahi hai udhar. Nobody is there. Early morning, who is there? 4 o'clock. And suddenly I saw people moving. So I just ran behind them. Zarur hoga, wohi log ja rahe. I went about 10-15 people were there. And I went in front of Radha Govinda. Huge, it's like a palace. Palatial temple. So I stood there. And I looked. And there are 10-15 log hai bas. But exactly at 4:15, when the conch shell blew, and everyone shouted, "Oh Radha Govinda Dev!" And then suddenly I looked around. Literally hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. I don't know. I was wondering, the demigods descended or what? What exactly happened? Hundred. And then everyone is, is going on like that. And hey Govinda, hey Govinda. And they were singing in their own. Everyone was singing. And the aarti happened. As soon as that aarti, the lamp was offered and the lamp was turned this side, everyone went like that. And then I looked, everyone disappeared. So I knew. I just followed them. Exactly in 10 minutes, Radha Gopinath, all Sotamota Gali, that guy, I just followed them. As soon as that darshan happened, they left. And they went to Radha Damodar, third one. And I was thinking, my God, it's literally like Krishna playing the flute. The gopis dropped everything and came, you know. And I was thinking, wow, this is fun. Even when Krishna blew the conch shell, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami was explaining a few days back, the Dwarkavasis' feelings of separation was so intense, you know, that as soon as the conch shell, it was like nectar, and they kept running and dropping anything, sarva dharman parityaj. They ran And I was thinking, wow. And every aarti, afternoon aarti and evening aarti, suddenly, earlier, now I don't know how it is, but they would close their shutters and just run. The whole Jaipur practically would be there at Radha Govinda Day. This was a few years back. I don't know how it is now. Everyone would put down their shutter and run there because Radha Govinda Day was aarti, evening of afternoon. And evening. Evening, everyone is there. All the oldies, everyone. And they have a very typical tune. Bhajman Radhe Krishna, Pyare Krishna, Radhe Govinda, Bhajo Radhe Govinda, Bhajo Radhe Govinda, Bhajman Radhe. And then again, you know, one for that, everyone starts. Same thing. It's like a tape recorder going on, just round and round. And they go on for hours, literally crying. And they buy prasad and distribute. Their laddu prasad is there. And they take pleasure in giving, distributing. Just in that association, I felt so shy. Do laddu mila, main socha, le jaunga. Then I said, everybody distributing. And four or five people came and extended their hand. Theek hai, we are supposed to give. In giving, we receive. That's all the philosophy, my aspiration. In giving, we receive. I don't know what I receive, but hopefully some mercy I receive. Laddu I lose, but mercy I receive, hopefully. So in that association, I also became charitable. Just by seeing them. So, Tadikshana Mahotsavaha. It is such truly understood. For them, it was actually a festival. It's like, if I don't, how will the day go? Mangal Aarti. Pura din mangal ho gaya. Just. And at that time, at least only at that time, I had taken a vow. Said, the conch shell of the Mangal Aarti for a sadhaka like me, who has no taste, only hears about the gopis' love for Krishna and has given profuse talks. Tavakathamritam taprajeevan. I took a vow that day, said at least from now onwards, when at 5 o'clock the conch shell is blown, I should see it as Krishna is blowing the flute. This is a sadhaka's flute. Oh, drop everything and just come. He's going to give darshan. Of course, he is there every day throughout his standing. He's playing the flute. But actually, we can't understand. We can't hear his flute at this time. Neither do we have the taste. So therefore the acharyas, as Prabhupada writes here very beautifully, the authorized acharyas who know the science perfectly install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles just to offer facilities to the common man. So for common people, sadhakas, struggling sadhakas like us. If we simply follow, I mean, I was just, several times I've expressed even in our Brahmachari class, we were one time studying in NOD, Nectar of Devotion, and we found out, in the morning program from 5 a.m. in our temple, some places 4:15 and 4:30, to say 9:30, 9:15, whatever, 50 to 55 of the 64 items of devotional service are executed. No wonder, even if we do nothing else for spiritual advancement, even if we have no taste, if we somehow, knowing that very thoughtfully, very mercifully, understanding our situation, our acharyas have so mercifully created not only a daily schedule, a monthly schedules, but so many annual festivals. Yeah, because some grahasthas may not be able to come. I was in Mauritius and recently, and I stayed in one particular home, and there I saw, my God, how can these people manage? They're so busy. So many guests were there, including me. And she had to prepare for everyone. And I was wondering how are they able to manage their 16 rounds also. And at a particular time of the day, around 7:15, fixed time, she does her morning aarti. And I noted, I said, it was the most power-packed, intense and condensed Mangal aarti. Exact 5 minutes. But she drops everything and she does that. In those 5 minutes, I experience the same energy which I experience here after 4 hours. Because in spite of all of that, she had, you know, that's how she feels that now rest of the day I can be in proper consciousness, do these services that I'm doing as an offering to Krishna. It's just like a mobile. Can you imagine? If you don't charge it, you know, hello, 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 and that follows, hello, hello. No connectivity. So, tadikshana mahotsavaha, as soon as we charge ourselves, rest of the day, even if the time is less and the task is more, Krishna gives us the good intelligence and the ability to actually successfully do it. But without the charging, we may spend a big amount of time, keep a big amount of time for something. But actually it will be unsuccessful in from the ultimate point of view. If it is not done in a Krishna conscious way. One of our brahmacharis, Bhagwan Prabhu, very senior person, he was living in Braj for some time. He had stayed in Barsana, in a Brajwasi's house. He would travel like that, so he stayed in a few days. So it was summer, extremely hot, and they didn't have fan or other thing inside the house. So at night they would sleep on a khatia, you know, cot, the rope wala khatia. So there were 4 or 5 cots, and he was also offered one. He was sleeping, and then there was the main head of the household, and on the other side, the girl, a little girl was there. She was sleeping on the other side. So early morning, this devotee would get up and he would, it was too, you know, like they have to go somewhere to take bath and all that. So he would just kind of finish his rounds till everyone kind of got up. So he would continue his chanting, his rounds, sitting on the khatia. And suddenly this, and others would get up and go around with their regular work. And this girl would get up a little late, 7-year-old girl. She would get up. As soon as she would get up, she would look at him and run away into the house. She would close her eyes. So he was kind of shocked. He looked at himself. I'm dressed decently. Why is she, you know, shying away like that from me? The next day, again, she looked at him and ran away after closing the eyes. He was surprised. Third day, exactly the same thing she did. He couldn't, you know, contain it anymore. So after some time, when they were sitting for lunch, he said, Lali, tu mere ko dekhke bhagti kyun hai? Tu main itna khatarnak lagta hun kya? Haan, tere ko dhenu ka sol lagta hun? Haan, tu sharmati kyun hai? Kya aisa main? Then he said, Baba, aisa nahi hai. Some other Baba had come to give a lecture. And he had told, सुबह उठते ही सबसे पहले आंख खोलते ही भगवान को देखना चाहिए, बाद में दुनिया को. So she took it so seriously. As soon as she would get up, she would close her eyes and run in front of the altar, open her eyes first, and then go about her. He was amazed. He said, "Wow, she has become my guru. She has opened my eyes by closing hers. She really taught me how to keep, you know, Krishna as the center of our life, to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And to know that beholding the beautiful form of the Lord is actually the ultimate festival. Utsah. Udgata. Udgata means to alive. So Utsah is meant to collectively and individually enliven us towards our goal. So tadikshana mahotsavaha. How fortunate we are that our acharyas have created a facility whereby every day, and thanks to their guidance, every home can become a temple. And every day one can have a festival at home simply by going before the form of the Lord, pulling out the curtain and having darshan. Tadikshana mahotsava. It's actually a festival for the soul. Mind may be very dull and may not appreciate. The intelligence may be lacking that appreciation. But for the soul, beholding the form of the Lord with a proper attitude and consciousness is such a festival. Today is also, I'll just end in 5 minutes. Today is also Chidadehi festival, where Srila Nitya Raghunath Das Goswami, who was desperate to achieve the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and somehow, because his parents were keeping 11 people guarding him so that he will never run away from home. So Mahaprabhu had told him, internally you do it, you know, aspire, but externally do your regular duties properly. And he was doing it, and he did it successfully and attracted the trust of his parents by satisfying the Turkish Chaudhary. When he and Chaudhary and the parents, his uncle and father, had issues. After that, again he was trying to run away. And the mother said, now we should tie him up with ropes. The father said, if Indra-like opulence and Apsara-like wife are not able to tie him, what these ropes will do? He's mad after Lord Chaitanya. A person who is mad after Chaitanya, who can hold him? Anyway, they would still do it. And one day, Raghunath Das, our Prayojana Acharya, showing by his own example, showed that if I really want to get the mercy of Lord Gauranga, I need to get the mercy of Nityananda. Without Nityananda's mercy, I will not achieve Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, he came to know that Lord Nityananda has come to Panihati. And he went there. I'll just read about 14-15 verses. I'm not going to speak about it, but just listen, it's so sweet. He, Raghunath Das Goswami, went and out of humility offered a respect from a long distance. So somebody told Nityananda, hey, there is Raghunath, hiding and offering obeisances. Lord Nityananda said, hey, you thief, come here. He was hesitating. So Lord Nityananda got up, caught him, pulled him, put him down, put his feet on his head. Can you imagine? Forceful mercy. No, sometimes mother does. Dawai kha beta. Kha beta. Hold his nose. Push it in. This is how forcefully Lord Nityananda gave mercy. And after that he said, now I am punishing you. Everyone here, you should feed chida and dahi. Sweet rice, condensed milk, and also rice, I mean chida and yogurt. And kela and all that. So he profusely fed. It's a big festival. After that, Nityananda Prabhu in the evening went to Raghav Pandit's house. Another festival. Next day, oh Krishna, Raghunath Das Goswami, so humble, not wanting to approach Nityananda directly, put Raghav Pandit in front. See, this is the humility of Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, I am not qualified to even approach Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda. So he put Raghav Pandit in front. And then he says, Raghunath Asi Kaila Charana Vandan Raghav Pandit Dwara Kaila Nivedan. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghav Pandit, he submitted his desire. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami is expressing his desire. Adhama pamara mui hina jivadham mor ichha hoy pai chaitanya charan. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen and condemned. Nevertheless, this is the basic assumption, underlying assumption. Not just assumption, but conviction in the great acharyas. For us, we should at least assume that we are like that. Nevertheless, I desire to attain the shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya. This is our aspiration. This is our goal. Shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vamana hoya jena chanda dharivare chai. Aneka yatna koinu tate kabu siddhanai. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. He's trying to run away and the guards are bringing him back. Jatobar palayami grihadi chadiya pita mata dui more rakhaye bandhiya. Every time I try to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. In our case, it is not our father and mother. It's our desires which like an anchor is holding us back. Our many other aspirations, many other desires, shrankhala, these are like chains which are holding, not allowing us to know. We know kalatai pan valat nai. We know, but we are not able to practice. Tomar kripa bina keho chaitanya na pai. Tumi kripa koile tare adhame hapai. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. What is that beautiful song? That Akbar dekhle chokhe jal, Akbar dekhle chokhe jal, Gaur bole nitai den sakala sambha. If you go in front of their lordships in this festival of beholding the forms, and with tears in our eyes, it doesn't mean if you don't get tears, you know, you should forcibly get tears. But tears basically means, you know, eagerness to actually achieve. How condemned that I am not able to get attracted to you. Akbar dekhle chokhe jal. Chokhe means eyes. If the Lord sees, his poor fellow is crying. Just like a mother, you know, like a child. Wah, wah, the mother. So therefore, mother comes. So Akbar dekhle chokhe jal. Gaur bole. And then if we chant Gauranga's name, Nitai den sakala. Nityananda says, chal, aaj tu mera kam mein, aaja main sab karata hoon. Tera kaam ho gaya. He takes charge. Ayogya mui nivadana karite kori bhai, mor chaitanya deho gosai, hoya sadai. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be specially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mor mathe padadhari karaho prasad, nirvighne chaitanya paaye karo ashirvad. Placing your feet on my head, please give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction. Shuni hasi kahe prabhu savabhakta gane, ihar vishaya sukha indra sukha same. After hearing this appeal by Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told all the devotees, Raghunath Das's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven. Chaitanya kripate seho nahi bhai mane, sabe ashirvada karo pauko chaitanya charane. Because of the mercy of bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain the shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu's mercy comes when the Vaishnavas become favorably disposed. Krishna pada padma gandha jai jana pai, brahma loka adi sukha tare nahi bhai. One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not value even the standard of happiness available in Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, and what to speak of heavenly happiness. Then he quotes a verse, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is offered sublime poetic prayers by those trying to attain his favor. Thus he is known as Uttama Shloka. Being very eager to gain the association of Lord Krishna, King Bharat, although in the prime of youth, gave up his very attractive wife, affectionate children, most beloved friends, an opulent kingdom, exactly as one gives up stool after excreting it. Tabe Raghunathe Prabhu Nikate Bolaya, Tarmathe Padadhari Kohite Lagila. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath's head and began to speak. This is Lord Nityananda Prabhu telling. Tumi je koraila ei pulino bhojan, tomai kripa kori gaura koila agaman. My dear Raghunath Das, he said, since you arranged the feast on the banks of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy, because you please the Vaishnavas. Kripa kori koila chida dugdha bhojan, nitya dekhi ratrya kaila prasada bhakshan. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Toma udharite gaura aila apane, chutila tomar jata vighnadi bandhane. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaur Hari came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Swarupera sthane toma karibe samarpane, antaranga bhaktya boli rakhibe charane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary Swarup Damodar. Official first counselor system. Even before the counselor was designated, Lord Chaitanya will put you under Swarup Damodar Goswami, his personal secretary. This was foretold by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nishchinta hoya jaha apana bhavan, achire nirvighne pave chaitanya charan. Being assured of all this, return to your own home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, after pleasing the Vaishnavas under the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the original spiritual master, very effortlessly, all the impediments that was blocking him between himself and Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, everything was removed. Tere mere beech mein kaisa hai ye bandhan? You can say that. But very easy to get out of that is simply on the order of Nityananda Prabhu's representative, Srila Prabhupada, and his followers. If he can serve, we just please the Vaishnavas. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, spontaneously Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy comes. And with his mercy, all the obstacles, internal and external, simply disappear, evaporate, and achieving the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya becomes very, very easy. So, we heard about the Kulastriyas who considered beautiful darshan of the Lord, Tadikshana Mahotsavaha. So, with deep gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who established, replicas Dwarka Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, wherever we reside, even in Mumbai, Chaupati, we express our gratitude. And one way of expressing gratitude is to actually take advantage of the wonderful facility that he has given us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Bol. Kindly be seated for just a few minutes. A very, very auspicious activity is going to take place. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, we were discussing about Srila Prabhupada's mercy. One of his forms of mercies are his books. And Srila Prabhupada instituted this Bhakti Shastri, the purpose of which is to systematically, scrutinizingly study so that we appreciate and understand what our aspiration and goal is. We understand the meaning of why we do what we do in terms of the artifacts, of the rituals, and all other things that we do. And also, someday, assume the deep-rooted siddhantic assumptions, the reality of consciousness that is facilitated by these books. So we had a batch of devotees from Chembur who successfully for last 1.5 years, 2 years. Matlab, you know, they really balka khal nikalna. They really kind of scrutinizingly studied and completed their Bhakti Shastri under the guidance of Rasikacharya Prabhu, one of our sweetest teachers who practices what he preaches. And how many people? 27 people have, all of them have been successfully graduated. When this course began, I was asked to address. I said, I can only repeat what I had heard from Radhanath Swami Maharaj. The first batch of Bhakti Shastri were about to appear for exam here in Radha Gopinath Mandir many years ago. At that time, Maharaj was asked to come and address because the students were very, very, you know, tense. And Maharaj spoke 2 verses. And he said, these verses you should memorize. You should write it on a piece of paper, laminate it, frame it, and put it above your Bhakti Shastri certificate. And he said, even if you forget Bhakti Shastri certificate or what you learned chalega, but don't forget this verse. And this verse was spoken by Balaramji when he approached Naimisharanya and saw Romaharshan Suta arrogantly sitting on the Vyasasan, addressing everyone, but not respecting Balaramji when he came. So Balaram gave the diagnosis in 2 verses. And this verse is worth memorizing. Risher Bhagavato Bhutva Shishyo Adhitya Bahunicha Setihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvashah Adantasya Avinitasya Vrtha Panditamaninah Na Gunaya Bhavantisma Natasya Iva Ajitatmanah. The first verse tells what are the qualifications of Romaharshan. Risher Bhagavato Bhutva Shishya. He is the direct disciple of Vyasadev. Can you imagine studying under Professor Vyasadev directly? Adhitya Bahunicha. He had got all certificates. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Sarbhavam, Bhakti Vedanta. Adhitya Bahunicha. Sa Itihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvashah. So he had all the qualifications. In the next verse he says, but he had certain issues. Adantasya, his mind was not controlled. Avinitasya, he was not humble. Vritha pandita maninaha, vainly he was thinking himself to be a very, you know, educated scholar. Na gunaya bhavantisma, he has not adopted any good qualities, as described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita 1 to 3, first, second, third verse. Natasyeva, therefore his speaking is like an actor who has memorized the verses. Achitatmanaha, his senses and his mind are not on control. So Maharaj expressed, it is not only to acquire the knowledge and the verses, but the success of Bhakti Shastri is to apply it in our heart. The Siddhanta is head knowledge. And Sadachar is heart knowledge. Imagine, the head knowledge is Siddhanta. To sink to the heart, how much is the distance? 1, 2. It's actually 2, you know, whatever, palm. But it takes lifetimes. Through sadhana, the Siddhanta becomes Sadachar through sadhana, to practical application of what we have heard and memorized. So, hearing this, one of the devotees, one of the students, has made a bookmark with those 2 verses. This is a gift for all of those who have graduated this time. So, very thoughtful and very nice of who made this. Thank you very much. So now we will call out the names. Please encourage them. I can tell you, by encouraging them, you will benefit more than 2 years course. By appreciating good qualities of devotees, you get more mercy than the fellow whose quality is being glorified. He may have tried for years to get that quality, but just by non-enviously appreciating. So, let us appreciate these devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.